From the people who bring you Charleston Home & Design Magazine, the Charleston Home & Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Take this off my shoulders. Someone take me home. Home, a place where I can go. To take this off my shoulders. Someone take me home.
Look, I didn't power through the struggle just to let a little trouble knock me out of my position and interrupt the vision. After everything I witnessed, after all of these decisions, all these miles, feet, inches, they can't add up to the distance just to get to a place where even if there's no closure, I'm still safe.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home & Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. That was Machine Gun Kelly, the ex-ambassadors, and BB Rexha with Home, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home. And special thanks to today's show producer, Rachel Lolar. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home & Design Magazine, winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism, and also winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home & Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August. We also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which typically takes place every April. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We've only got two guests today, but they're really good ones. We're going to be hearing you're going to be hearing a very interesting interview with Bert Snyder, one of the owners of Palmetto Exterminators, and you may have noticed that termites are swarming right now, and so you're going to be hearing all about that, what that means to you. Do you have termites in your home? Do you have an infestation in your home just because you've seen some of these termite swarmers swarming your home? And what to look for and how you can eradicate the situation. And then we're also going to talk to Dale Fort, longtime staffer at Buck Lumber and Building Supply. And Buck Lumber and Building Supply has been open for business throughout this entire quarantine, and a great place to shop. And we'll be talking to Dale Fort. I also wanted to take a moment and talk specifically about the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour. It was originally scheduled for April. We moved it to June because of the C-19 deal, and we have just decided to go ahead and cancel it altogether. And I'm very sorry for that. We've done it 9 years in a row, and but we just didn't see a way forward to do this. It involves the cooperation of several homeowners on Daniel Island, and they just didn't feel comfortable with strangers walking through their home, which is understandable. So I did want to take a moment and thank the builders and the sponsors. Novella Homes was one of the builders on the tour. Also, NextGen Automated was a home sponsor for that home. Shelter Custom Built Living, had a couple of houses on the tour, and their home sponsor was Vitoria International. Brightwater Homes was on the tour, and their home sponsor was Rhino Shield. Curtis Daniel Homes was on the tour, and they had that house was sponsored by Outdoor Lighting Perspectives and Aqua Blue Pools. As I mentioned, Shelter Custom Built Living, they had two houses. The second house at 173 Captain's Island Drive was sponsored by Heritage Pools. And Carson Homes, and I mentioned Novella Homes before. They had two homes on the tour, and then also Del Pino Custom Homes. And also special thanks to Post and Courier, Charleston Amish Furniture, Patriot Blinds and More, Taylor Agency Insurance, and our official tour cleaning company, Made Pro. We'll be back next year for sure. Have a great weekend. And joining us on the phone now is Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators. How you doing, Bert?
Just fine, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. So, Bert, this time of year, I always reach out to you because there's something that homeowners are experiencing across the Lowcountry that is very, very frightening. And I'm not talking about COVID-19. It's the swarming of termites. And Bert, if you don't mind, could you take a moment and kind of put yourself into a homeowner's shoes, and what are they experiencing right now as it relates to swarming termites?
Well, every year, it's an annual event, and we have a particular species of termite here called the Formosan subterranean termite. It's an invasive species that moved in the 50s, and it has taken over the area where it's the dominant termite that we deal with now. And one of the unique behaviors of this termite is that their colonies are very large, and they also infest live trees. So we have these beautiful trees around here, the live oaks and the water oaks, which these termites like to infest when there's heart rot in those trees. And every spring, right around Memorial Day, they swarm out of those colonies by the tens of thousands. One colony can produce 70,000 swarmers. We know that there are 10 to 15 colonies per acre. These termites will fly by the tens of thousands towards the lights around 9 or 10 o'clock at night on your house. Mm-hmm. And they're very good crawlers. They crawl up the wall into any crack and crevice they find, mainly into the soffit vents, into the attics, and then they will come down through your attic space and from can lights or air conditioning registers, any place there's a gap. They also come in around doors and windows, and really can be quite annoying with, you know, hundreds if not tens of thousands of termites trying to crawl in and around your house. Now, those are the ones that swarm from outside coming towards your house. Can be really frightening if you have an infestation that you're not aware of, and they actually come out of the wall, say around a door frame or a header or whatnot, and you have literally tens of thousands of insects flying inside the room around to the point that you literally have to vacate the room. It can be quite disturbing. So typically, though, most homeowners see a couple dozen that are crawling in from outside. Just because you see some doesn't mean you have an infestation. 98% of all of the swarm calls that we get right now, we determine have just swarmed off-site, landed on the property, and have crawled in. But it can be very disturbing or disconcerting to a homeowner thinking that their house is infested. It is not something you need to be freaking out about, but you do need to understand that these termites can infest your house. The swarmers don't have any biting, chewing mouth parts, but their job is to pair up and mate and start a new colony. So if you've got leaf litter on your roof, clogged gutters, or rotten window frame, or something like that, they can certainly infest those areas.
Gotcha. So and you mentioned something a minute ago about they swarm to the lights. So Does it help if you turn off your porch lights or you don't have any outdoor lights on your house? Will the termites, maybe the swarming termites, avoid your house because you don't have a porch light on?
Yes, most definitely. We advise all of our customers to turn off their exterior lights, particularly porch lights or garage light, unless they're absolutely needing them. And to, if they can, cut off their uplighting. Now, if their uplighting is out in trees and stuff out in the yard, that's probably okay. But if you've got uplighting on your house and outdoor lighting on your porch or driveway that's directly on the side of your house, you need to cut those off because those termites will be attracted to that area. They'll even be attracted to a lamp sitting in front of a window. So if you have a lamp that comes on right in front of a window, it's good to even shut those lights off right in front of a window. So reducing your outdoor lighting right now through the first half of June is a recommendation that we tell everybody.
I live in the Hampton Park area downtown, and the Hampton Park area has been considered to be ground zero.
You've heard me say that before.
Yep, for Formosan termites. And I remember 20 years ago, at this time of year, looking out at from my porch on looking out at Hampton Park, and just like you said, there was a street lamp, and you really couldn't see clearly because there were so many swarming termites surrounding that street lamp. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is bad.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's something that we are stuck with forever. We're just going to have to live with it. So everybody needs to become educated to what that is and what that represents to, if you're a property owner, homeowner, and the things that you need to do to protect your property. Because we can only do so much. We have to have the homeowner's help, you know, maintaining the property. Like I said, cleaning gutters, leaf litter, not piling up mulch too much. And this year in particular, I predicted it's going to be an epic year because of the hurricanes and snowstorm that we had the last 3 years. There's a lot of tree damage. There's a lot of down trees and stumps and a lot of food source. Plus, we've had a very wet, mild winter. So it's just the stars are aligning, if you will, for an epic swarm season, meaning we're going to see a whole lot more volume of termites this year than we have, like last year when we had the drought. In fact, yesterday we received over 2,000 phone calls in one day yesterday. I think it might have been a record at our Charleston branch office.
Wow, 2,000 phone calls, and those are phone calls coming from very panicked homeowners.
Yeah, some are customers, some are used to it, but we want to address all of them. Ones that we think have very low numbers and we think just are coming from outside, we'll actually do a virtual inspection with FaceTime on the phone. Those that have, you know, 100 or several hundred of them inside their house and we're concerned there might be something going on, we'll actually physically go and inspect those. So yeah, it's something that homeowners need to be educated on because they're going to see them every year. And we just don't want people to. The newer people moving into the area that's not used to them, they usually freak out. The homeowners that live here don't freak out, but they are concerned enough that they will call.
Yeah.
We want them to call.
And what are some of the telltale signs that people will see around their house to know that these swarming termites have visited their home?
Well, a lot of times you will find dead ones inside your house, probably sometimes the next morning. And what they will look like is they're little brown, almost look like an ant, probably a quarter inch in length, without their wings. They fly, land, and drop their wings, and they crawl around. So you'll see these little brown insects dead on the ground, and some of them may even still be alive. You'll also could find wings. You know, like I said, they drop their wings. So they're a solo flight. They fly off out in the yard, fly towards your house, land, drop their wings, because then they want to pair up with a male and female, want to pair up, and then crawl into someplace secluded that hopefully has some moisture that they could start a new colony. So you can see the wings, or you can see winged termites crawling around, flying towards the lights, or you can just find the little bodies after they've dropped the wings.
And I've watched enough versions of Naked and Afraid to know that termites are a good source of protein, but I don't. I hope no one ever around here has to go to such measures.
Yeah, it's good food for the tree frogs and the chameleons. So it's Mother Nature's source of food.
Bert, Palmetto Exterminators, how long have you folks been in business?
Our business was established in 1960. We are a family-owned and operated company. My brother and I, we're the second generation and have taken it over from our parents who have retired, and we're still operating today, and our home is Charleston, but we operate throughout the state, and we go over into North Carolina and Georgia. So we have 7 branch offices around the state.
Wow, that's impressive. And you started right here in little old Charleston.
Yeah, actually it started in Waldorf.
Oh, okay. We
expanded into Charleston in the late 70s.
Gotcha. And your dad started the business. I remember you telling me that he said, if you're going to continue in the family business, you need to go to college and get a degree that specializes in insects. Tell our listeners about that a little bit.
Correct. There is the study of insects is called entomology, and my dad was an entomologist, graduate entomologist from Penn State. Before he started the adventure of Palmetto Exterminators, he was the national training director for Orkin and then for Terminex, and then started Palmetto Exterminators. He and mom did. And he always said, don't worry about business, just don't spend any more money than you make. But to separate yourself from the competition, to being considered an expert in that, and just give you a good fundamental knowledge of what we're dealing with, get a degree in entomology. So he told all of the sons, if you're going to come into the business, you have to get a degree in entomology. So that's what I did. I came in first and took over the business. And fortunately, my brother was a CPA, so it worked out perfect. Even though he doesn't have a degree in entomology, he's our accountant, so worked out well.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about what a homeowner can do to protect their home from termites. Because, and you mentioned before that we do have a lot of newcomers in the Charleston area that aren't used to termites and that kind of thing. If you own a home, every homeowner should have a contract with a termite with a pest control company like Palmetto Exterminators. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, the first thing a homeowner should have is a very effective termite control program with a professional service on their property, and that would include a treatment initially if it wasn't treated during construction. Where we treat the foundation with a variety of different products. You could use a soil termiticide. We use Termidor, which is a liquid termiticide that we apply to the soil foundation. It's the number one most effective product on the market, and any company could get that. There's also baiting systems out there that people could buy. I personally do not recommend using a baiting system as a standalone. It's not while it works, it's not the most effective tool. We use it as a supplement. So having an inspection and a service and a control program in place is the first thing all homeowners should have. It's something that a homeowner cannot do termite control on their own. It's not a DIY project. They don't have the ability to get the chemicals. Well, they could probably get the chemicals online. You can get anything online, but you don't have the equipment, the tools, and the know-how to apply them correctly, or you don't have the training to do the inspections properly. One of the most important things that a homeowner needs to have done to the property is a very thorough inspection, looking for not only the activity, but also the conditions conducive. A lot of times we find what we call the conditions conducive first. That means moisture problems, construction issues, those type of things. Example, caulking and painting that may be needed where there is exposed wood or wood is getting wet. Also clogged gutters, leaf litter on a roof. All of those things are things that the homeowner and needs to take care of. And we try to help a homeowner identify those things through our inspection process and documentation to help them correct those problems. Because you're going to see termites. It's inevitable a house is going to get termites in the Lowcountry. There's no way to stop that. So all we can do is reduce the odds of a termite infestation from occurring. And we need the homeowner's help to do that.
You know, you mentioned the inspection and how crucially important that is. In full disclosure, I'm a customer of Palmetto Exterminators. And after we built our house, we had one of your technicians come out. And I thought, new construction, we've got, you know, they already did the initial treatment, which lasts a number of years. We should be in good shape. And lo and behold, your technician found two different examples of where the termites had begun to establish a colony. And one of them was in a utility room that's just filled up with tools and building materials and things like that. And it was this very, very thin mud tube in the corner, and it required the technician moving some things around, knowing what to look for. And lo and behold, he calls me down and he said, you've got termites, and here's this mud tube. And I would have never seen that mud tube had he not pointed it out. So I guess I just want to throw in my own two cents and say that not all pest control companies are created equal, I've had very, very, very good experiences with Palmetto Exterminating, because you folks, you must have very good training for your technicians to know exactly what to look for.
Yes, we do. And I give all that credit to my father. I mean, he was a training teacher at heart. And, you know, the best training you can possibly give, and ongoing training. It's not just something you do once. You just got to continually do it. I mean, I've been doing this my whole life, and I'm learning something different every day. So we train our employees continuously. You're only as good as your least trained employee is what I always say. And the only way they get training too is experience in the field. The more inspections they make, the longer they've been in the industry, the more experience and the better inspectors they are. Because sometimes it's not about, you know, seeing that termite tube in the corner like you did, but it's also about instincts, intuition. You know, you say that, well, you know, something doesn't look right over here, or this looks like an area, if I were a termite, I would want to come up here because it's elevated moisture, it's in the shady side of the house, there's a lot of vegetation, those type of things. So it's almost kind of, you kind of got to go with your gut feeling sometime about, you know, that doesn't look right, I need to look a little closer over there. And you only get that with inspection, I mean, with experience and more inspection. So I fortunately, we've got a great crew, great employees, and we just try to do the best we can.
And there's a lot of things that homeowners can do on their own to prevent their house from being a target for termites. And any kind of a direct contact to the ground with any sort of wood around the house, or placing firewood too close to your home. What are some of the things that attract termites to your house?
Well, there are a lot of things that we recommend for a homeowner to do, and you mentioned just a couple of them. One is, you know, if any wood's in contact with the ground, it's inevitable that there is wood in contact with the ground on old houses, particularly on porches, but you need to make sure that that is constructed out of pressure-treated lumber designed to be in contact with the ground. Sometimes it's impossible to eliminate all wood in contact with the ground.
Pressure-treated lumber will still get termite infestations too, though, right?
Oh, yes, they do. They will deteriorate. You know, just because it's pressure-treated wood doesn't mean that the termites aren't going to infest it, particularly as it ages. It just, you know, the pressure treatment slows down the deterioration process. All organic matter is going to deteriorate over time. And particularly if it's like a 6x6 post on a front porch, you know, that the center of that post may not have the pressure treatment as good in the middle of it versus on the outside. So termites can come up through those. So we look at those areas very closely, and we we tell the homeowner that we're looking at it, and we remind them that, you know, that's going to rot at some point in time. And if termites get into that, you know, it's not, that part of your structure is not going to be covered for that. And that just, it's common sense. But other things the homeowner can do, you know, that makes sense is keeping the bushes trimmed back a foot off the house, allow good air circulation because that allows for lower moisture. Don't build up mulch too high. We don't mind mulch, just don't pile it up so it's real thick, because that can create, as it decomposes, a nice thick layer of untreated soil that we have to retreat sooner than later. Also, making sure your maintenance is good. If you see any areas of cracking paint or caulk that's missing or deteriorated, redo all of those areas. The focus being control or limit the amount of above ground moisture that those termites can exploit, because they are attracted to wood rot. Fungus grows on that wood when it gets wet, produces a byproduct that the termites are attracted to. So eliminating those areas is critical. You know, like I said earlier, cleaning your gutters, getting the leaf litter off your roof. We've seen termites infest leaf litter on a roof. So, you know, with the swarmers coming in. So those are all of those items that we tell homeowners that they need to look out for.
Well, and I was about to ask you about a term I've heard a few years ago, an aerial infestation.
Correct. Aerial infestations are created by these swarmers that we're talking about. It used to be, you know, 2-3 decades ago, kind of an unusual event or rare. Not anymore. Now that the Formosans populations have gotten so large and they've gotten so many swarmers, the odds have increased that those termites are going to find an above ground moisture issue and wood source that they can create an aerial infestation. That means they fly in, pair up, male and female, they mate. King and queen of the new colony, if you will. The queen starts laying eggs, and the queen can live up to 20 years, and those workers start developing a food source and then building a nest in that area that those termites can live in. So we are actually finding more aerial infestations today than we do ground-based infestations. So I would say greater than 50% of all of the activity that we are finding in a structure is aerial in nature.
And how do you know that? Because a homeowner is not getting underneath their house in the crawl space to look for mud tubes, and they're less likely to climb a ladder and get up on their roof to look for look for wood rot or anything that might attract an aerial infestation. So how do you know that you may have an aerial infestation?
Well, I mean, that's something that we investigate. A homeowner is not going to be able to make that determination. It's when we, you know, go to a property, whether it's a customer or non-customer, and we have an infestation that's up high around a door header, a window header, underneath the flat roof deck. We're having a lot of problems with those flat roof decks that they build for patios and whatnot. And, you know, that we can't find any evidence that there's termites coming up from the ground. Sometimes it's really easy to find out, like if it's a walk under house and it's all concrete piers or wood piling piers and you can see everything underneath, it's easy to find those tubes that would be seen in a crack or coming up the foundation or up those pilings. So we exhaust all effort to look for those ground-based scenarios. And then it's a process of elimination. Okay, we can't find any ground contact. Then we go and we start investigating as we're doing the treatments to that above-ground activity. We use infrared cameras to look for the hot spots. The nest will appear as a hot spot. Moisture issues will be a cool spot. Of course, we can obviously see the moisture and termite damage and the fungi growing on that once we take sheetrock off and start dismantling it. Really, that's how you verify it ultimately, is when you dismantle it, you start making the repairs, you determine whether or not there's actually a trail of the termites going to the ground. So a lot of times you can't see that until actually the repairs get started. I mean, we usually are 75 to 80% confident or suspect that it's an aerial infestation because we can't find any ground contact, but there's no other better verification of that than once you make the repairs.
Yeah, and the mud tubes, the termites travel inside those. Is that right? So they can get
correct
that moisture
the, yeah,
from the ground.
Yeah, the termites are a very soft-bodied insect. The ones that do the damage, the workers, which are the vast majority of the colony. There could be hundreds of thousands or millions of workers in a colony. They're little white insects. A lot of people think they're larvae, but no, they're full grown. And they're white. When an insect is white, that means they are very soft bodied and they can dry out very rapidly. So they need a lot of moisture and they have to be in a protected environment. So that little mud tube that they're building over the surface of a foundation wall or up in the corner at your property, that's like a little protected tunnel that they're not exposed to the elements and they won't dry out. So all subterranean termites will build those tubes. They will also like to travel in between surfaces. So like two sistered boards together or between the plywood and the 2x4 or behind the stucco or behind the brick, they will fill those areas up with tubing material like the crack in between two 2x4s that are nailed together. They'll fill that crack up with that mud tube material, and it doesn't necessarily have to be mud or dirt. They make, like the aerial infestations, they're obviously not in contact with the ground. So they're making those tubes out of partially digested wood, saliva, and also fecal matter. So they're very good about gluing all that stuff together. It looks like dirt, but it's not in that circumstance when they don't have contact with the ground. Because we find termites all the time on boats sitting in the harbor and yachts with infestations, and they look like they've got these dirt nests and these mud tubes or dirt tubes that look like they have soil in them. But there's obviously they're sitting in 15 feet of water. There's no way that could be soil.
Mm-hmm. So a homeowner gets termites and it creates a good bit of damage. Can they call up their homeowner's insurance and ask for, ask for any kind of damage
coverage
money?
Unfortunately, homeowner's insurances do not cover termite damage. Depending on your policy, you might get some coverage if, say, like you had a moisture problem, like a leaky chimney or a deck that was leaking or something like that that caused rot damage. Now, if that's covered, you might have some coverage there if termites have also infested that area, because the moisture problem created a situation for the infestation to occur. So I have seen of late in situations where they have contributed some to that, but you have to have a very specific policy that covers those type of things, and usually they're kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. But most, in general terms, homeowners insurance will not cover any termite damage.
Do any of the termite contracts with pest control companies, do they cover any kind of damage? Is there any kind of a damage waiver or anything?
They do. All companies are different, but there are what they call a repair contract. Some people refer to it as a bond. There's not really a bond. It's a kind of a term that it misrepresents what you actually get because they're not all the same. So you have a repair contract, and in that contract should spell out what their services are going to provide, retreatments and inspections, those type of things, and then you'll have the area of what's covered. Now, at very best, they're limited. They're not going to cover. You get a termite, they're going to pay something. It doesn't work that way. For example, most companies have common language in their contracts that say if you have an above-ground moisture problem and a termite infestation occurs to that, that's going to be an exclusion. Now, there's some wiggle room with that. Not all moisture issues should be excluded. If it's a ground-based infestation, and there's a slight moisture source somewhere, a lot of companies will use that as an excuse, and they kind of, as an exclusion, say they're not going to cover it. An investigation needs to be done in those circumstances. So what I recommend to homeowners is they read very carefully, the terms and conditions of their contract. If it's complex, it seems confusing, maybe you need to get somebody that's familiar with it to take a look at it. with our contract, we try to make it fairly simple and common sense in the language that we have. But the most important thing I tell people they need to buy is not so much the coverages in that contract. What customers, homeowners need to be buying and focusing on first is they want to purchase the most effective termite control program that they can afford to buy. I represent that you can't afford to buy anything but the best, because if you have an infestation, you know, what that company does under their contract, you know, whether or not they're going to find an excuse or, you know, they're going to tell you something that it's going to be an exclusion, that contract's not going to be worth the paper that it's written on if they're giving you misinformation. So the best thing to do is get the most effective control program in place, and hopefully you never have to deal with that. Or if you do have to deal with it, it's going to be a minor issue because the control measures that they did, you know, limited the amount of termites that damage they could do until they were discovered. You know, we're going to see infestations on house. You can do a perfect termite treatment and you can still get an infestation. So, you know, when that occurs, you know, the quality of that company and the experience of that company is going to be more important than what the language is in that contract.
Mm-hmm. And Palmetto Exterminators, whenever they do an inspection on a property, you folks always send me a very detailed report. It has photographs of any previous damage. And so your Palmetto Exterminators is very, very good about documenting everything and knowing what maybe was there before you folks came in, so that you're not being forced to take responsibility for a problem that happened before you were even on the scene.
Correct. I mean, that's not necessarily the purpose. We want to document the existing condition of the property. Once, if it's something we are treating post-construction after it's built. But yes, our main goal of those inspections is one to find any evidence of termite activity or the conditions conducive, but then we want to communicate what we find to the homeowner. So we have diagrams that we draw for each structure. We take digital photographs. Nothing speaks more than a photograph. So we document those findings in locations on the diagram with a photograph. It speaks 1,000 words, and it's very easy then for you to see, okay, you've got condensation around your air duct in your crawl space and it's sweating and you got some fungi growth there. Well, it's easy for to describe that and put that in writing, but until you see a photograph of it, you can't picture what the heck we're talking about, because most homeowners never go in their crawl space. Mm-hmm. We don't expect them to. That's what they've got us for. So we want to document that to make it easier for the homeowner to understand what we're finding. We also document where there is no damage.
Mm-hmm.
So how does a homeowner know that we inspected that plumbing penetration in the crawl space? Well, because we got a picture of some of them.
That's a good point.
And we say plumbing penetrations inspected, no damage, and you've got a picture of it there that looks good. So that way we create a history, a chronology of the structure. It's been amazing how we could go back, you know, 20 years, and we say, well, what did it look like 20 years ago? And sure enough, we've got some pictures of those exact same spots, you know, 20 years ago, and we can compare the pictures to now and, you know, just 5 years ago or even 6 years ago.
Your home is your biggest investment. I know that's a cliche, and so is
yes.
The cliche that it's not a matter of if, but when you will get termites. So if you do not have a contract with a termite company, you need to get one. And how can folks get in touch with Palmetto Exterminators?
Well, they can call our Charleston office, which is 843-766-9701. Or they can just get online and get all the information that I just talked about. And there's some coupons on our website, and that's palmettoexterminators.net. You can also look up our palmettomosquitocontrol.com website as well.
All right, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators. Thanks so much, Bert.
Thanks, Tim. Good talking with you.
And now joining us on the phone is Dale Fort with Buck Lumber and Building Supplies. How you doing, Dale?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Dale, take a moment and tell everybody about Buck Lumber and Building Supplies, because we don't have to ask you that question about whether you are open or not, because you folks never closed during this quarantine, being a construction-related essential business.
That is correct, and it's been extremely busy. I guess everybody who has a home has projects that needs to be done, and we've seen signs of that and have been heavily involved with it. Buck Lumber, as a business, we can take you from foundations to doorknobs. Our primary lines are framing, exterior siding and trim, interior trim and millwork, and windows and doors, and all the hardware that goes along with it.
Excellent, excellent. How long has Buck Lumber and Building Supply been around?
The company was established in 1975. It actually dates back to the 40s when it was Rhodes Lumber Company.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the late 60s, Eddie Buck and Dusty Rhodes became partners and became Rhodes Buck until Mr. Rhodes passed away in 1974, then became Buck Lumber and officially in 1975.
Hmm. Gotcha. And Buck Lumber and Building Supply, you folks are a local company. About how many employees does Buck Lumber and Building Supply mouths to feed?
We have right at 85 employees, I believe was the last count.
Wow. That's really significant because they keep talking about how important small businesses are and how they're the lifeblood of the American economy, and there are 85 people that are employed by Buck Lumber and Building Supply right here in Charleston, and they all have families. They all rely on a paycheck from Buck Lumber and Building Supply, and they're spending those dollars locally. And so, if I could give our listeners a little bit of advice, is think about that. And the next time you have a project, rather than go to maybe a big box store, or one of the national chains, think about spending your dollars locally with a company like Buck Lumber and Building Supply. And there's a mindset that people have that they're going to save money by going to a big box store, but there's other lumber yards in Charleston, so they kind of make sure that that it keeps prices competitive at Buck Lumber and Building Supply, right?
That is absolutely true. To give you an example, Treated Lumber, the company that we deal with, we're their largest dealer for a single location in the country.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we have every bit of the buying power that the big box stores have.
No kidding.
It's all related to having good buying groups that we're associated with that cater to independent lumber yards. So it's like having our own chain, even though we're one location.
Gotcha. Why do Buck Lumber Building Supply does a lot of business with custom home builders? Why do those builders rely and come back every time for their next project to Buck Lumber?
Primarily because of our people. Mm-hmm. Our sales crew are extremely knowledgeable. There are so many new products and products involved in building a home or remodeling a home. You need to have that expertise to make sure you're making the right decisions and using the right products in the right way for whatever situation is. And our sales team can help walk you through that.
Gotcha. Yeah. When it comes to, what's the term? Doing a takeoff? Is that the industry term?
Yeah, we can do a complete home takeoff, provide your material list. There's a lot that goes into it, and we do it day in and day out. And our sales staff are some of the best in the business at doing this.
What happens, Dale, when, and this happens on a regular basis, a builder will, Buck Lumber will be delivering a certain amount of building materials to a job site that the builder requests for that day or that week, and they forget something. They forget that they should have some sort of building material out there. Does the builder have to come and visit Buck Lumber, or do you guys send another truck out?
Trucking is an issue, especially with the traffic and everything happening these days. Our trucks are constantly rolling. They start about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they wrap it up about 6 to 7 o'clock at night. So, and we're covering roughly a 35-mile radius. We constantly have trucks on the road. So when they have, need to drop something, worst case scenario is 48 hours. In most cases, we have it taken care of in 24 hours.
That's excellent. That's where that service comes in that you were talking about before.
Yes.
Dale, tell our listeners about the Buck Lumber and Building Supply Design Center, because it was about 10 years ago or so, maybe 12 years ago, when Mr. Buck decided that the showroom, the original Buck Lumber showroom, was not doing the trick. And I thought this was kind of an unusual time. The timing was unusual to create this enormous design center at Buck Lumber during the 2008 financial crisis, that recession that we went through then. And I think it was either you or Rob Crawford or somebody with the Buck Lumber organization said, we're looking ahead, we're looking at the future, and this is why we built this design center during a recession when everyone was pulling back and not spending money.
That was a project that was already in the planning stages, and we opened it in 2008, right when the recession hit. But ironically, that design center actually helped us stay alive. It features primarily windows and exterior doors and interior doors and other things. But it gave some place for people to come who were still building to come visually see what would go into their homes to help make that decision-making easier. And the design center has continues to be a big plus for us, big positive.
Yeah, and this goes back to one of the things I respect most about architects and custom builders and even interior designers is you can lay out a set of plans on a table, and if you show a homeowner those plans, they're not going to be able to really see it because it's a one-dimensional kind of thing. And whereas custom builders, architects, even interior designers, they can look at that set of plans and instantly visualize how it's going to look on that house. And but since us homeowners are limited with that kind of vision, the Buck Lumber and Building Supply Design Center you folks built, that really, really assists homeowners because you can feel, you can touch, you can see all these different vignettes for windows and doors. And what else will they experience at the design center?
We're constantly updating it. Probably one of the biggest things right now is a lift and slide door for a case where you want a window wall. And these are panels that actually slide into the wall.
That's cool.
And it's a massive system, but it's very easy to use. So for the right home, the right people, it's available. But we have all this on display. You can actually operate it to see how you like it, or how this window and door package is one of the most costly items that goes into a custom built home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to spend that kind of money, you want to be able to touch and see it and feel it and see how it operates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even even as simple as
this allows you to do that.
Right, exactly. Even as simple as what's the difficulty level, or put another way, how easy is it for me to open up a window to let some fresh air in? And there's some windows on new construction that are very difficult to operate, or you know, they're heavy and they just I don't know, not real friendly, user friendly, and perhaps those are some of the kinds of things that people can experience for themselves in the design center at Buck Lumber.
Yes, and we have the design center is fully staffed to help have the people on hand to help walk you through this project. And again, they are the best in that field that Charleston has to offer.
Right, and there's a nice meeting space also inside the design center where an architect or a builder can bring their clients and lay out those plans that I was talking about, and then say, okay, well let's move to the second floor, and we've got to pick out and you're able to. They're able to bring their clients right into the design center to the different displays. And that I think that's interesting that you're constantly updating the displays in the design center. I think that has probably a lot to do with the fact that homeowners today that are building or remodeling are probably a lot more educated, and they're doing a lot more research online to become at least a temporary expert on whatever if they're building a new house, become a temporary expert on some of the products that are going into their new home.
Yes. The way it is set up, we welcome architects, designers, homeowners. The market has changed where those homeowners are more educated because of the internet and everything else that's available to them. We welcome those people. And yeah, we're here for you.
Yeah, they're so that they're not walking in and saying, hey, do you know about this particular product? And you're like, oh, well, no, because we built our design center 10 years ago and we never updated. That's not the case at Buck Lumber. You've got customers asking for these things, so you have to be able to provide them those new updated materials. And speaking of that, every fall, usually it's in November, Buck Lumber and Building Supply does a huge customer appreciation luncheon for the builders who shop at spend their hard earned dollars at Buck Lumber, for the craftsmen who are installing these products. For I've seen architects, interior designers, they come to the customer appreciation luncheon. And what's notable is all of the vendors, all the manufacturers reps that are on hand, and there's, you guys have like tabletop displays for them, and all the people in the construction industry who come to the luncheon, they're walking around talking with all of these vendors, and these vendors are the ones that provide all the products that ultimately become part of someone's home. And they always speak so highly of Buck Lumber, and I know they work with other lumber yards around the state and the country and so forth, but it seems like they really, really support Buck Lumber and Building Supply.
Yes, Yes, we have a huge support from our vendors. That's our biggest event of the year. We have roughly 500 people attend. We have about 35 vendors participate on a regular basis. And so it's a great time to, you got about 2.5 to 3 hours to come see some of the latest products available to you in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time.
Yeah, and Buck Lumber, you folks go, it's first class all the way. You folks have an oyster roast. You have... there's shrimp Creole, and those are all big local shrimp that you guys have, and barbecue, and it's the customer appreciation lunch has gotten quite a great reputation with builders and the craftsmen that work on homes and architects. They all seem to come out. They put it in their planners for whenever you folks have that event.
Yes, and that normally takes place the first part of November. So normally either the second or third Friday in November.
Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. Well, I also wanted to ask you about the molding module on your website. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, this is something we've managed to, we've been talking about it for years, and we were finally able to pull it off. We have a molding module on our website, bucklumber.com, and it allows you to design moldings or profiles for your home. You can take baseboards, casings, crown molds, and do build-ups on site. You can print off CAD drawings of each profile to help you visualize what this is going to look like when you put it on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so welcome everyone to take a little bit of time and check it out.
Well, that's good. Well, good deal. Well, we have, and how can folks get more information about Buck Lumber and Building Supply?
Again, you can visit our website, bucklumber.com. It has a lot of information in there, a lot of how-tos and everything. It's a lot to go through on the phone, but just take your time. Just check the different tabs at bucklumber.com, and we can answer most of your questions through that website.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to contact us in person, you can also call us at 843-795-0150, or you can come visit us at 1911 Maybank Highway on James Island.
Excellent. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Dale Fort with Buck Lumber and Building Supply. Thanks so much, Dale.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.